بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ولا يزال البلاء بالمؤمن حتى يمشي على الأرض ما له من خطيئة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, we are all aware of the current state of disaster in and around Durban and the outlying areas. These conditions that come are solely from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Quran that whatever condition comes upon us, whatever test and trial, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, then this is because of what you have earned. This is the result of our sins, our disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really had to take us to task for every wrong that we did, nobody would have remained on earth. We would have all perished a long time ago. That's how deserving we are of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when any difficulty comes, it is indeed from the side of Allah, but a direct repercussion of our wrong and our sin. And that verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks and forgives a lot of our wrongs. This is only a little bit, a little of the sins of ours we face the repercussions for in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a lot of your wrongs I have forgiven and overlooked, I don't take you to task for. So the first thing, whenever we are faced with any calamity, be it on a large scale like this or on a personal level, then the first place we should look at is within ourselves, that how we can reform ourselves, we can rectify our wrongs, accept that this is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is undoubtedly a test from the side of Allah. Conditions will come, good conditions are also a test from Allah, difficult conditions are also a test from Allah. Generally we only understand that a musibat, a calamity is a test. This is a test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Even affluence, prosperity, luxury, this is also a test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We will test you with bad, with evil, difficulty and with good. All of this is a fitna, meaning a test for you, a trial for you, an examination to see how you will respond. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, بُلِينَا بِالضَّرَّى فَصَبَرْنَا وَبُلِينَا بِالسَّرَّى فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. He said, we the Sahaba, we were tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in both forms. In times of difficulty also, like is well known, in the early days of Islam, the Sahaba had endured great difficulty. He says, that was also a test on the side of Allah, but we were able to be patient. But thereafter came the days of affluence, the days of luxury, and through his tawadu and his humility, he says, that also was a test from Allah, but we were not able to pass that test. The point here is to show us that whether it be a good condition or a bad condition, both are tests from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The test is, how will we respond? How do we react in that situation? A believer is, or every person, any human, is either in enjoying affluence and prosperity or is in difficulty. A believer is either making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is in prosperity, because he is enjoying some luxury and ni'mat from the side of Allah, or he is making sabr because he is undergoing and enduring some difficulty. This is how he spends his life, in shukr for Allah's ni'mats, or in patience for the tests and trials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in his path by way of difficulty and musibat. But in all conditions, a believer engages in the hamd and the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we are in good times or bad times, whether the business is doing good or we are running at a loss, whether a person is enjoying good health or bad health, whether it's a time of peace and safety or time of calamity and disaster or insecurity, in all conditions, a believer, a true reciter of kalima la ilaha illallah, praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Alhamdulillah. This is the greatest reaction, this is the best reaction we can give in any condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that when good things happen, when you accomplish something good, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. All praise is due to Allah with whose favor good things are accomplished. And if you are in difficulty, then too praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Say all praise to Allah in all conditions. Even in this condition where I am suffering, even in a condition where I have ill health, or I have lost something in the floods, or I suffered some kind of an accident, some other loss in my life or business. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. I praise Allah in every condition. We, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have been labeled in the previous nations as Al-Hammadun. That the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be known as those who excessively praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time, respected friends and elders. Generally, when we are in good times, then we have the habit. We say, shukr alhamdulillah. After we eat, we say, alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana. After we accomplish good, we have the habit of saying, alhamdulillah. How are you? I'm fine, alhamdulillah. But if somebody is sick, then too we say, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. I'm not well, but alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So, alhammadun, the ummah collectively is known as those who excessively engage in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I've been mentioning, not only in times of affluence and ease and prosperity, but in the time of difficulty as well. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a lot, when we praise Allah despite difficulty. So you say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. These tests, respected friends and elders, by no means denotes that we have been abandoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. By no means it means that we are cursed and now doomed. Never. On one hand, as I mentioned, we need to introspect and look at the wrongs that we are engaged in and make tawbah. But on the other hand, it is not time for despair. The greatest of calamities and greatest of tests came on the closest of bondsmen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in a hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, that who among mankind is tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who has to undergo the worst of tests and trials? أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. The Anbiya are the ones that are put through the most difficult of times. So suffering difficulty is not a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abandoned us, has cursed us and doomed us. No, respected friends and elders. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Man has got this habit, that when he enjoys ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him in different ways, then he says, yes, رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِي. My Rabb has honored me. In other words, Allah loves me. Allah, you know, is looking after me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is favoring me. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا. But if Allah has to test him by decreasing his sustenance and making his livelihood a little bit difficult, in other words, by putting him through some kind of difficult test, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. Then he says, my Rabb has abandoned me. No, kalla, Allah says, never. That is not the case. That is how we think. In both conditions, we can be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had to undergo so much of suffering, so much of torment at the hands of the kuffar in Makkah and other kuffar in Arabia, perhaps among the most difficult days in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was when he went to Ta'if, full of hope, that maybe the chieftains of Ta'if will accept. Makkah, the people are not accepting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to give them da'wah to Islam. And we are all aware of the response that he was met with. And the reaction of the people of Ta'if. And how they had, so to say, chased Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of the town. Pelted him with stones. Until his feet were drenched with blood. Great takleef. Among the greatest of tests that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured was that day. But on that day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And first he said, oh Allah, you can see my condition. إِلَيْكَ أَشْكُوا ضَعْفَ قُوَّتِي. Oh Allah, I complain in front of you about my weakness and my insignificance in the eyes of the people. And the dua continues, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that dua says, "In lam takun sakhitan alayya fala ubali." Oh Allah, this condition, such a difficult day, if this difficult test is not the result of your anger upon me, if you didn't bring this upon me in response of you being angry to me, angry at me, fala ubali, then I don't care. In other words, then I can endure this. If this is your test because I am close to you, because I am beloved to you. So this is how we should respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has saved us in so many other ways. And be worried and concerned that if this test has come, it must not be a result of my sins. And if it is a result of my sins, then let us engage immediately in tawbah and istighfar. Change our ways and mend our ways, respected friends and elders. One calamity after another has come collectively to our communities. And then globally, so many calamities have been shared by all. The calamity of COVID has covered the globe for the past 2 years. These are all ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to draw us nearer to Him. Wants to remind us that Allah is in full control. He wants to remind us that these are وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah says, we make the people taste the lighter adab, the easier punishment before the major punishment. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Sometimes these conditions come so that perhaps they can turn back and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mend our ways with our Creator. In the time of difficulty, in the time of musibat, our response was to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Among the tabi'un, there was a great muhaddith, Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubayr rahimahullah. He was among the greatest muhaddithun of Medina Munawwara in his time. And his life is full of lessons. But he is quoted for, you know, a mountain of sabr. And he is an example in his forbearance and sabr in the, you know, in difficulty. On one occasion, Walid ibn Abdul Malik, who was the Khalifa at that time, and stationed in Damascus, he summoned Urwa. Urwa was his close, you know, associate in Medina Munawwara. Walid was first residing in Medina Munawwara. When he became the Muslim ruler, and he was based in the capital of Islam at that time in Damascus, so he summoned Urwa bin Zubair for whatever reason. Urwa, rahimahullah, had 7 sons. So he took one son with him. And some ulama have mentioned that was the most beloved son that he had. And en route, when he reached Damascus, then his son was injured by an animal. That animal kicked out, the horse kicked out at this son, and he got injured and he passed away from that. So he lost his son, his most beloved son, on that journey. While he was there, and en route, he suffered an injury in his foot. And by the time he had reached Damascus, gangrene had set in. And there was no other way but to amputate from the knee. So he lost his limb also. So when he returned to Medina Munawwara, people came to console him. People came to, you know, to console with him, sit with him. Because, I mean, this was one journey where he suffered great loss, loss of a limb and loss of one son. And according to some, the most beloved son. But when Urwa returned, the only thing he said was, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. In this travel of mine, I got a bit tired. This is how Musa alayhi salam had responded when he was traveling. In other words, Urwa, so to say, this much I can say. This won't be complained. This a Nabi of Allah also said, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِن سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. And thereafter they quote the statement of Urwa, which is a lesson for all of us. See how we ought to inspect the halat and the condition that comes from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, look at it from a different perspective and react how we ought to be reacting. He says, Allahumma kanu sab'atan. Oh Allah, I had 7 sons. فَأَخَذْتَ وَاحِدًا وَأَبْقَيْتَ سِتَّةً. You took only one son and you left 6. اللهم كنا أربعا وكنا أربعة. Oh Allah, I had 4 limbs, 2 hands, 2 legs. أخذت واحدة وأبقيت ثلاثة. Oh Allah, you took away 1 limb of mine, but you left me with 3. He was making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite that pitiful condition and state that he was in. اللهم إن كنت أخذت فلطالما أعطيت. Oh Allah, if you have taken away some of my ni'mats now, you took my son, you took my limb, then for so long you gave me, for so long you allowed me to enjoy these ni'mats, and to enjoy that son of mine, and to enjoy that limb of mine, that leg of mine. وَلَئِن كُنْتَ بْتَلَيْتَ فَلَطَالَمَا عَافَيْتَ. Oh Allah, if you have put me through a difficult test now, then for so long you have kept me with afiyat. For so long you saved me from this. This is how a mu'min and a Muslim responds in times of taklif and difficulty. We do not lose hope. We do not panic. We do not question the hikmat and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather make shukr that it is only this loss and there's so much more Allah has saved. We find ourselves in the month of Ramadan. And in the famous hadith of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam labeled it, وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الصَّبْرِ. The month of Ramadan is the month of patience. And this calamity has befallen our community in this month, where we are already in the habit of being patient. This, inshallah, will make it easier for us to bear. But why has this month been called شَهْرُ الصَّبْرِ? Ulama say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drawing our attention here to the fact that look at the grace of Allah and the mercy of Allah. 11 months of the year are shahrul shukr. Every other month of the year is the month of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 1 month only, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make sabr. That is the ratio generally in our lives. The amount that Allah takes, the amount that Allah tests us in comparison to how much Allah blesses us. There's no comparison. One part of 12 parts was for sabr. And the remaining 11 is for shukr. So much of ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we enjoy and we continue to enjoy despite being in a pitiful state and condition. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to mankind in Quran that you will be put through tests, but you need to be patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We will definitely test you. بِشَيْءٍ, with a small amount. With an amount of ju'i, hunger, sometimes some person will go hungry. Decrease in wealth, suffer in your health, in your earnings. Bi shay'in min al-khawfi wal-ju'. No, it's not a condition that's going to remain with you all the time. It's going to come and it's going to be temporary. This is a passing phase. My beloved father, rahimahullah, Allah fill his qabr with nur, when he used to console people in difficult conditions, then he would remind them. He would say, this is a passing phase. In other words, yes, it is difficult, but remind yourself, and inshallah, I'm going to live to see better days. Inshallah, this difficulty will pass, and a time will come, and I'll forget this taklif. That is also the message here. وَشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ is going to be a bit of this suffering, a bit of this loss will come in your life. At the end, Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who are patient at that time. It may be for a short period in your life, but yes, it is not easy for us to be patient. Allah says, give glad tidings to those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا. Those who are afflicted by any musibah, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. What is إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ? This is submitting to the condition of to the condition that Allah has placed before us. Submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. We belong to Allah. Who's we? Does we mean only our souls, only our bodies, only our hearts, only our limbs? We is us and whatever we have. All of this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My soul and body, my wealth, my clothing, my home, my wife, my children, my business, my cars, my properties, all of that is part of we. Inna lillah, we all, meaning we with whatever we have, belongs to Allah. So if Allah has taken away some of it now, wa inna ilayhi raj'un, we are all still going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going there, a part of it has gone already, and we are also going to end up in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By saying inna lillah, we are actually submitting to this condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on us. Ulaika alayhim salawatun min rabbihim wa rahma. People like that, they deserve the mercy and the special mercies of Allah. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. They are the rightly guided ones. They have responded properly. They have responded to that situation in the correct manner by submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu mentions, inni la usabu bil musiba. If I am afflicted with a calamity, then I take consolement in 3 ways. إِذْ لَمْ تَكُنْ أَعْظَمَ مِمَّا كَانَتْ. That musibat, I make shukr to Allah. He says, I make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I console myself by saying, it could have been worse. Some people have lost goods and stock for their businesses. Some people have lost furniture in their homes. Some people have lost their entire homes. But still, respected friends and elders, it could have been worse. One person came to Imam Yunus ibn Ubayd rahimahullah, complaining of difficulty, that he is suffering, he is in need. So the Imam then asks him, he says, tell me, if I have to offer you 100,000 coins for your one arm, will you give me? He says, no. If I give you 100,000 for your other arm, your left arm, will you part with that? He says, no. Another 100,000 coins for your leg, will you give it to me? He says, no. And like that, he kept on mentioning the faculties that Allah had blessed him with. 100,000 pounds or 100,000 coins for your aql and your brains. He says, no. So he says, I see you to be a millionaire, and you're complaining that you are in difficulty, you're complaining that you are in need and you are suffering in your livelihood. So whatever the calamity, respected friends and elders, لم تكن أعظم مما كانت. It wasn't worse than what it was, then he makes shukr to Allah and we take consolement from that. إِذْ لَمْ يَجْعَلْهَا فِي دِينِي. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, I take consolement that if that calamity befell me, if it wasn't a calamity in my deen, then I make shukr to Allah and I am consoled by that. Because a calamity in deen can never be matched by any loss, respected friends and elders. There is no comparison between loss of dunya and loss of a person's deen. Losing out on one command of Allah, missing one salah, respected friends and elders, perhaps this is a time when we can understand this hadith more, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man fatathu salatun, that person who misses one salah also, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلَهُ وَمَالَهُ, is like a person who has been robbed of his entire family and all his wealth. He has lost everything. Only one salah if a person misses. The calamity of deen can never be matched by the loss in any other form in dunya. What is a motur? فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ, the hadith used this word, وُتِرَ أَهْلَهُ وَمَالَهُ. A mawtul is a person who is robbed and he is helpless. He can see it happening, but he can't do anything about it. He's losing, but he can't stop it. Like we saw during the looting last year, like now also, many people could see the floods coming. They could see the water coming. But how much can you salvage? What can you do? You can't save, you can't, you are helpless. That is a mawtul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to us that look around you in your community. People who have lost everything, the person worst affected by these calamities, has lost his entire house, his business, maybe people drowned also, then that is equal to missing out only one salah. That is equal to missing out one salah. That is how important the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That is how valuable the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in comparison to our dunya. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, I take solace from the fact that if the musibat came, it came on my dunya, I lost something in the world. If it wasn't a loss in my dunya, in my deen, then I take solace from that, and I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Again, I would quote my beloved father, rahimahullah, as an example to show that that the pious consider losing out on some sunnah, losing out on some mustahab as a calamity. If he could not find his miswak to make wudu, he would say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If he came to the masjid and he missed the takbir-e-ula, or the first saf, or the first rakat, he would say, inna lillah, and he would scold those who were the cause for the delay. Like if my child had to damage my cell phone, or damage the car, or something else, how we would scold them? Like, because we understand the value, we have attached value to dunya and to material things. If we attach value to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will be the exact reaction when we lose out on fulfilling the command of Allah in the best possible way. Have we ever said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I couldn't read my salatul jamaat today? Have we said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I never read the salah at all today? Then, respected friends and elders, it is time for us now to reflect that loss in deen outweighs the loss of dunya many, many, many fold. And then he says, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, and then I take consolation from the fact, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الْأَجْرَ الْجَزِيلَ عَلَى الصَّبْرِ عَلَيْهَا. Allah will reward abundantly if a person is patient in the time of difficulty. Respected friends and elders, the reward for patience is great, great. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, there is no record. To paraphrase, if somebody says the malaika also will not be able to record the amount of thawab that a person would be blessed with, he will not be wrong perhaps. Because the hadith, the Quran says there's no way of counting the amount of thawab and reward that is in store for those who are patient and exercise sabr when it is needed, when it is wanted from them. Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. Those who are patient, you get nothing else but your Allah. You get Allah's ma'iyyat. Allah is with you when you are patient. What can be greater than that reward, respected friends and allies? Sayyidatuna Ummu Salama radiallahu anha was married initially to Abu Salama. And they are an exemplary couple among Sahaba radiallahu anhum for many reasons. Among it was, they were the first family and household to embark on hijrah for the sake of deen in this ummah. That they made hijrah to Abyssinia. They were part of the first group of Sahaba that left Makkah and went to Abyssinia to be able to protect their deen from the taklif and the suffering at the hands of Kuffari Makkah. So they went as a family. They were the first household and family to make hijrah. And they were also those who took part in both the hijrats. They made hijrah to Abyssinia and then returned to Makkah after a while and then joined Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And after coming to Medina Munawwara, after a few years, Sayyiduna Abu Salama radiallahu anhu passed away. So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned to Hazrat Ummu Salama, the wife, that any person, any Muslim who is afflicted with a musibah and a calamity, and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and he recites the following dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a better replacement. That dua was, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Oh Allah, reward me in this calamity of mine. It may be a time of difficulty and suffering, but so to say, let it be worthwhile so that I get some reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This word can be pronounced in three ways. Allahumma ajurni, Allahumma ajirni, and Allahumma ajirni fi musibati. So if somebody has learned this dua in a particular pronunciation from these three, it is fine. Oh Allah, reward me in my musibah, wa akhlif li khayran minha, and give me something better in its place. So Ummu Salama radiallahu anha later tells her family, her students, that when I heard this, it occurred to me, the thought came into my heart, man khayran min Abi Salama? Who can be better than that husband of mine, Abu Salama? You know, they had a very special bond. And they went through thick and thin together, so to say, that normally unites the heart and creates a stronger bond. And their life was on the basis of deen, the hijrah they made was on the basis of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts additional muhabbat when the couple sacrifice for the sake of deen. So who can be a better person and husband to me than Abu Salama? She says, but Allah gave me the tawfiq to read the dua. So I made that dua, that oh Allah, reward me in this calamity and give me a better replacement. And as soon as her iddah terminated, 4 months and 10 days later, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed for a hand in marriage. What better? Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is khayrun min mil'il ard min Abi Salama. Abu Salama, a great sahabi, radiallahu anhu, definitely and undoubtedly. But there's no comparison. The Nabi of Allah supersedes the earth full of Abu Salama. And whoever else it may be, the greatest human on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed with it. So we do not know what is better for us. We do not know how it will happen and you know how Allah will do it. But we have to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and say inna lillah, read the dua, praise Allah in the time of difficulty, and assist those around us if we can. Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman wa tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we show mercy to those around us, if we have been saved in some way or the other, and we are able to benefit the next person, those that are in the difficult condition, then let us exert and go out and offer our assistance, because that will make us deserving of the mercy of Allah. It is hoped, inshallah, through that Allah will protect us from such calamity and such loss. It is definitely not the conduct of a Muslim, and in fact not the conduct of a normal human, that at a time like this, for us to take advantage of the situation, raise the prices of products that are needed by those that are in taklif and difficulty, like we are hearing. The price of water now is being increased. The price of things that are now, you know, people need direly, the prices are being increased. In a time like this, it is inhumane for us, for a person to react like that, respected friends and allies. What's going to happen if we are in that condition? Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us to be generous in all conditions, and especially when there's a need. And at this time, respected friends and allies, that question shouldn't be there. That, can I give my zakat? People generally find it much easier. Yes, undoubtedly, zakat is farz, and we must discharge our zakat. But this is the time, and in fact all the time, we should have the habit of giving nafil sadaqah as well, giving nafil charity as well, because that is where lies the added protection against the calamities and tests on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Discharging the zakat will save us from being punished for lacking in a fariza and an obligation. But added security and protection from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in us giving nafil charity. Zakat is 2.5% of my earnings. That question shouldn't even come up. It should be discharged without people even asking. 2.5%. And I'm waiting the whole year. Every time somebody approaches me, then I'm asking, can I give my zakat? That should have been given in one instant. 2.5%, Allah has given you 39 more portions in your business. 39 more portions of liquidity you have. The zakat you don't give on the value of your car, the value of your house, your clothing, your watch, your device. From your liquidity you are giving 1 of 40 shares. 1. 39 Allah has left with you, still the whole year. And at times of need and difficulty we are asking that one can I give from there? Respected friends and allies, let us reflect within ourselves. Really, is that how much we value ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Value ourselves by securing our akhirah, by protecting ourselves and offering nafil sadaqah, nafil charity at a time like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. You know, in Turkey, in most of the masjids, the ulama make this dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamaman ni'ma wa dawam al-afiyah wa husn al-khatimah. Oh Allah, we ask you for complete ni'mat. The complete ni'mat is the ni'mat of Jannah. So to be blessed with the ability of practicing Islam, living as a believer in this dunya and earning our Jannah in Akhirat. Wa dawam al-afiyah. This is the reason I'm quoting the dua today. Ask Allah for afiyat, the hadith says, and here this dua is asking for dawamul afiyah, constant afiyah. Oh Allah, grant me afiyat all the time. Keep me in your protection all the time. Because look at what has happened. And look what happened last year. And look what happens on a daily basis in people's lives. All of a sudden, from somewhere calamity strikes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Imagine if you are in some masjids, this dua is made after every salah. Imagine if after every salah you're asking Allah for the ability to practice on deen fully, for dawam al-afiyah and wa husn al-khatim, and oh Allah, bless us with a beautiful end. Our mort and our death must come to us in a good condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and grant us tawfiq. Akhir da'wana.